ಸರ್ವೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 45 ಅಂಡ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 35 ಅಂಡ್ 36. ಸರ್ವಂ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠೌ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವರ್ತಕೌ ಸಕ್ರಿನ್ ನಿಗದ ಮಾತ್ರೇಣ ತೌ ಸಂಜಗ್ರಿತುರ್ ಸಂಜಗ್ರಹತುರ್ ನೃಪ. There is another shloka, but that is not written here, so we'll just stand 635. Sarvam naravara shreshtau sarva vidya pravartakau sakrinigada matrena tau sanjagrahatur nripa. Sarvam naravara shreshtau ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವರ್ತಕೌ ಸಕ್ರಿನ್ನಿಗದ ಮಾತ್ರೇಣ ತೌ ಸಂಜಗ್ರಹತುರ್ ನೃಪ. ಸರ್ವಂ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠೌ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವರ್ತಕೌ ಸಕ್ರಿನ್ನಿಗದ ಮಾತ್ರೇಣ ತೌ ಸಂಜಗ್ರಹತು ನೃಪ. ಸರ್ವಂ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠೌ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವರ್ತಕೌ ಸಕ್ರನ್ನಿಗದ ಮಾತ್ರೇಣ ಸಂಜಗ್ರಹತುರ್ ನೃಪ. ಸರ್ವಂ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠೌ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವರ್ತಕೌ ಸಕೃನ್ನಿಗದ ಮಾತ್ರೇಣ ತೌ ಸಂಜಗ್ರಹತುರ್ ನೃಪ. ಸರ್ವಂ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠೌ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವರ್ತಕೌ ಸಕೃನ್ನಿಗದ ಮಾತ್ರೇಣ ತೌ ಸಂಜಗ್ರಹತುರ್ ನೃಪ. ಸರ್ವಂ ನರವರ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠೌ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವರ್ತಕೌ ಸಕೃನ್ನಿಗದ ಮಾತ್ರೇಣ ತೌ ಸಂಜಗ್ರಹತುರ್ ನೃಪ. Ladies, sarvam naravara shreshtau sarva vidya pravartakau sakre nigada matrena tau sanjagrahatur nripa. There is another words 36. ಅಹೋರಾತ್ರಶ್ಚತುಷ್ಟ್ಯಾ ಸಂಯತ್ತೌ ತಾವತೀ ಕಲಾ ಗುರುದಕ್ಷಿಣಯಾರ್ಚಾಯಾಂ ಗುರುದಕ್ಷಿಣಯಾಚಾರ್ಯಂ ಛಂದಾಯಂ ಆಸತುರ್ ನೃಪ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ದ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿವ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್. ಓ ಕಿಂಗ್, those best of persons, Krishna and Balaram, being themselves the original promulgators of all varieties of knowledge, could immediately assimilate each and every subject after hearing it explained just once. Thus, with fixed concentration, they learned the 64 arts and skills in as many days and nights. Thereafter, O King, they satisfied their spiritual master by offering him Guru Dakshina. purport. Today's purport is just a list of all the skills and the arts which Krishna and Balaram learned at their Guru's ashram. Purport. The following list comprises the 64 subjects mastered by Lord Krishna and Balaram in 64 days. Additional information may be found in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lords learned Gitam, singing, Vadyam, playing on musical instruments, Nrityam, dancing, Natyam, drama, Alekhyam, painting, Visheshaka Chedyam, painting the face and the body with colored unguents and cosmetics, Tandula Kusumabali Vikara, preparing auspicious designs on the floor with rice and flowers, Pushpastaranam, making a bed of flowers, Dashanavasananga Raga, coloring one's teeth, clothes and limbs, Manibhumika Karma, inlaying a floor with jewels, like we have here. Of course, these jewels are not real, but that's the inlay work. Shayya Rachanam, covering a bed, Udakavadyam, ringing water pots, Jaltarang, what's that? Udaka Ghata, splashing with water, Chitra Yoga, mixing colors, Malya Grathana Vikalpa, preparing wreaths, garlands, Shekhara Pida Yojanam, setting a helmet on the head, Nepathya Yoga, putting on apparel in a dressing room, makeup, Karana Patra Bhanga, decorating the ear lobe, Sugandha Yuktihi, applying aromatics, Bhushana Yojanam, decorating with jewelry, Aindrajalam, Indrajal, jugglery, Kauchumara Yoga, the art of disguise, Hasta Lagavam, sleight of hand, Chitra Shaka Pupa Bhaksha Vikara Kriya, preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake and other delicious food, Panakarasa Raga Savayojanam, preparing palatable drinks and tinging draughts with red color, Shuchivaya Karma, needlework and weaving, Sutra Krida, making puppets dance by manipulating thin threads, Katputali, Sutra Krida, Veena Damaruka Vadyani, playing on the lute and a small X-shaped drum, Prahelika, making and solving riddles, like we have people doing crosswords and sudoku and all that, so this is that. Pratimala, capping verses or reciting poem verses for verse as a trial of memory or skill. Durvachaka Yoga, Durvachaka, uttering statements which are difficult for others to answer. Pustaka Vachanam, reciting books. Natika Khyayika Darshanam, enacting short plays and writing anecdotes. This is 32 more. Krishna and Balaram also learned Kavya Samasya Puranam, solving enigmatic verses. Pattika Vetra Bana Vikalpa, making a bow from a strip of cloth and a stick. Tarku Karma, spinning with a spindle. Takshanam, carpentry. Vastu Vidya, architecture. Vastu. Raupya Ratna Pariksha, testing silver and jewels. Dhatu Vadaha, metallurgy. Mani Raga Gyanam, tinging jewels with various colors. Akara Gyanam, mineralogy, art of mines. Vrikshayur Veda Yoga, herbal medicine. Mesha Kukkuta Lavaka Yuddha Vidhi, the art of training and engaging rams, cocks and quails in fighting. Still is there in many parts of the world, cock fighting. Shuka Sharika Pralapanam, knowledge of how to train male and female parrots to speak and to answer the questions of human beings. Utsadhanam, healing a person with ointments. Kesha Marjana Kaushalam, hairdressing. Very much in vogue today also. Akshara Mushtika Kathanam, telling what is written in a book without seeing it and telling what is hidden in another's feast. Mlechita Kutarka Vikalpa, fabricating barbarous or foreign sophistry. speaking in any garrulous, speaking in any imaginary language. Desha bhasha gyanam, knowledge of provincial dialects. Pushpa shakatika nirmiti gyanam, knowledge of how to build toy carts with flowers. Yantra matrika, composing magic squares, arrangement of numbers, adding up to the same total in all directions. Again, it's still in vogue. Dharana matrika, the use of amulets. Samvacham, conversation. Manasi kavya kriya, composing verses mentally. Kriya vikalpa, designing a literary work or a medical remedy. Chalitaka yoga, building shrines. Abhidhana kosha chando gyanam, lexicography and the knowledge of poetic meters. That means making dictionaries, kosha chanda. Vastra gopanam, disguising one kind of cloth to look like another. Dyuta vishesham, knowledge of various forms of gambling. Akarsha krida, playing dice. Balaka kridanakam, playing with children's toys. Vainayiki vidya, enforcing discipline by mystic power. Vaijayiki vidya, gaining victory. And fourth, Vaitaliki vidya, awakening one's master with music at dawn. So this was the syllabus which Krishna and Balaram learnt at their Guru's ashram. Vandeyam Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Shukadeva Goswami continues his narration.
O King, those best of persons. In today's verse here, we have Naravara Sreshthau. The Sanskrit au means two. Like we have Vande Rupa Sanatanau, Raghuyu Gau, Sri Jiva Gopala Kau. That means these two are being addressed here. So Naravara Sreshthau, Sarva Vidya Pravartakau, Sakran Nigada Matrena Tau, Sanjan Nagratur Nirpa. So they are described as the original promulgators, the original basically originators of knowledge. They could immediately assimilate each and every subject after hearing it explained just once. Sakrit is once. So once their guru tells them something and they not only they understand, they assimilate and they could fully master that particular subject. So in the next verse he describes, thus with fixed concentration they learned 64 arts and skills in as many days and nights. That means 64 days and 64 nights they learned these 64 things. And thereafter, O King, Guru Dakshina Acharyam. They satisfied their spiritual master by offering him Guru Dakshina. Dakshin, this word has many meanings in Sanskrit language. Dakshin means right. Vama is left. Dakshin also in direction times means south. Like we say Dakshin Bharat. Dakshin is in the sense of right, is you keep something on your right. Like we chant every day, Yani kani chapa pani, Brahma hatyadi kani cha, Tani tani pranashanti, Pradakshina, Pade pade. Keeping Tulsi Maharani on our right, we offer her parikrama. So that is pradakshina. This dakshina is a very integral part of Vedic culture. Knowledge is not sold. Knowledge is given as a matter of duty by the teacher and is taken as a matter of right by the student. I just thought to go through some various important examples in our Vedic history. The Pandava princes, five of them, and the Kaurava princes, 100 of them, they are slowly growing up. Bhishma Dev is worried as to who will teach them. And one day the Pandavas, the princes themselves, they're young boys. They come running to the palace of Bhishma Dev and say, Pitama, Pitama, you should be seeing this wonderful Brahmana. So he says, why, what happened? He says, while we are playing with a ball, this ball fell in a well. And Acharya Drona at that time was wandering all over the country trying to find out who can be a suitable student. So when he saw that these Kshatriya princes are playing, so he said, you can't take a simple ball from a well. So they said, well, if you know so much, why don't you take it out? He just took one blade of grass, uttered some mantras and it went and stuck to the ball. So they said, okay, so what? It is still there down. He took another one, another one, another one. The second one stuck to the first one. The third struck the second. In this way there was a whole line of blades of grass. And then he just pulled it. He says, here is your ball. Go play. So they were very mystified. And when Dronacharya found that these boys are simply surprised by the skill shown by Dronacharya, he asks him that, could you tutor them? Could you teach them? He said, gladly. He taught them to the best of his knowledge. Arjun became his favorite disciple as far as archery is concerned. There are many other stories, we'll skip that. Then came the day of their graduation. And the culture was such that the students themselves ask the guru,
Now what do we do? Anything. Whatever you wish, that will be our offering of Guru Dakshina. Now this is what, this moment was what he was preparing for the last so many years. He said, I am insulted by Drupad. We both were students in the same academy. At that time we were friends. And Drupad told me, anytime you have any need, you come to me. So I got married. I had a son. Unfortunately, we were very poor. So poor that I couldn't even offer my son milk. So I thought, at least I should have a cow, which is not a big deal. And then I thought, I have a friend. The king said, you can come to me anytime. So I went to the king's court and I announced that, tell your king his friend has come. So the king also was curious to know who's there saying that he's my friend. And then he saw Drona, haggardly looking, poverty stricken. And these are the vagaries of life. Sometimes you don't know what to say. Or just because you are accustomed to a particular kind of lifestyle. Drupada unfortunately uttered the words, this beggar, my friend? So he told him that friendship is among equals. You and me are hardly equal. So he was aghast. He said, don't you recognize me? I am Drona. We studied in the same academy. Somehow, the wheel of forgetfulness was on Drupada's mind. And Drona became so insulted, he said, I'll show him. And in that mood, he was wandering all around. And then he met the Pandavas and Kauravas. We see a glimpse of their personalities when he's addressing all together, Pandavas and Kauravas together. And Duryodhana said, you tell me, I'll get you whatever you want. So he said, Drupad, I want him bound like an animal in front of me. And Duryodhana said, okay, well. So he just took some army, went, blew the conch shell, declared war. And Drupad almost defeated him. And then he told Arjuna, I think you should go. So Arjuna went and fought valiantly, showed all his artistic skills in archery, actually captured Drupad, bound him exactly like his guru wanted, brought him in front of him, and he said, Guru Maharaj, this is the prize. This man is now bereft of everything. So Drupad was standing head down, completely embarrassed. And Dronacharya said, I give you half of your kingdom back. Take it. And now we are equals. Is it not? I have half, you have half. What else can he say? He said, oh, yeah. Thank you. You are really very broad-minded. And then he goes back. Still that seed of insult is still there. He does a yajna just to kill Dronacharya. Now you may say, why all these things happen? Well, this is part of life. Politics is like that. Sometimes Prabhupada would just say, this is politics. Then we have, not exactly in a similar way, but two occasions where kings have offered Dakshina, three rather, or actually many. Bali Maharaj also I was thinking in terms of Lord Ram when he came back from Lanka Vijay. The first thing he did was, they cut off Lord Ram's hair, made him, of course he was looking beautiful even in the forest, but now he has to look like a urban and urbane prince. So Abhishek and everything, and now he has to be given back his kingdom. He said, no, not like that. There's a big puja, a big yajna, and he called all the brahmanas and gave all four directions in charity to the brahmanas. This is your dakshina. Dakshina what comes in the Bhagavad Gita also. Asrishtannam adakshinam, a Vedic sacrifice where there is no distribution of prasad offered to Lord Narayan. Vidhihinam, there is no proper vidhi. Asrishtannam, there is no proper distribution of prasad. And no dakshina given to the brahmanas. Today this is at least remembered very well by... We will come to that later if we have some time as to how these things have been completely changed today and why they are so irritating, but somehow that is part of the culture. So Lord Ram, he insisted on giving not just a plot, not just an area, a whole direction. This is in the ninth canto, and the brahmanas are like, what do we do with the whole direction? I mean, he lives in a hut somewhere, what would he do? Will he put that this whole eastern direction is the property of so-and-so Sharma, so-and-so, like that? No. Immediately after that ceremony, they gave it all back. Now this also might evoke that kind of a feeling. Then why take in the first place if you have to give it back? Why this kind of formality? This is where we have to understand. This is where the whole mystery of our culture lies. A kshatriya is not supposed to think that he is ruling his own kingdom. It has to be given in charity. And that is the reason why Lord Ram gave everything in charity. Bali Maharaj was also willing to give whatever a Brahmana wanted. In fact, Bali Maharaj's case is where the Vedic etiquette comes in front of your path. The Vedic etiquette is surrender to your guru. But just like we have surrendered, the woman should surrender to her husband. Children should surrender to their parents. Students should surrender to their guru. Subjects should surrender to the king. Why? Bhagavatam answers why. Because they give you Krishna. And if Krishna is not a goal, which is achievable by that thing, then you don't need to surrender to any of these. So in Bali Maharaj's case, you have to surrender to your guru. But the guru is saying, don't surrender to Vishnu. So he said, no. Then I can't. So similarly, the gopis are respected that you have to serve your husband, your relatives, your children, everything. But not at the cost of giving up Krishna and doing that. That is why they are glorified. Something more on the subject of Dakshina. Guru Kul. Let's take some words here. Guru, the word has many meanings. Authority, teacher. One deep internal meaning is heavy. Guru means heavy. Like for the word for gravity in Sanskrit is Gurutva Akarshan. Akarshan, but Gurutva, heavy Akarshan. So anything which goes up, the gravity force pulls it down. In fact, our bodies, which are so upright when we are young, you'll find slowly there is a bent because there is gravity force acting on us. Big empires are pulled down
palaces pulled down, skyscrapers pulled down.
Everything goes because of this force. So Gurutva is that heaviness. It means for that particular disciple, the opinion of his guru should be heavy. It should pull you down to reality. I was told many years ago by one devotee that, let's say what you want to do in life is like a scale. You put your things in one part of the scale, left hand side. And then there is a guru's opinion, maybe one small opinion. But at least in your life, it has to come like that. And Prabhupada is the best example of this particular thing. Many times he used to discuss with his disciples, I don't know what my particular qualification is, but I had faith in the words of my guru. Prabhupada was never told by his guru that, I think among all disciples you will be the one who would spread this message. That's not how things work. Prabhupada said anybody could have done it, but I took it seriously. On the banks of Radhakund, Prabhupada hear his guru saying, previously we had a small place, there was much cooperative spirit. Now we have a big bungalow, marble palace, and people are fighting over which rooms which person should occupy. I wish we could sell off the marble and make books. I think we should print some books rather than making these kind of properties. So this is another thing, a general hint. It is not like, so you do this thing, you never give up book distribution. It was like, I wish we could make more books. If you ever get money, you print books. So that Prabhupada remembered. So it is a natural responsibility of an expert disciple to take whatever the guru says and see how it applies in his own life, and coupled that with the Bhagavad Gita verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekaha Kuru Nandana, the meaning of Vyavasayatmika, especially given by Vishwanath Chakravartipada, appealed to Prabhupada so much. Prabhupada didn't give that in his purport, but now his disciples have translated Vishwanath Chakravartipada's purport, so we are privy to that, we can understand. Srila Vishwanath Chakravartipada takes it to a very high level. He gives the Vyavasayatmika meaning as, whatever my guru tells me is my life and soul. I may succeed, I may not. I may live, I may not. No, anything may happen to me while I am trying to fulfill my guru's mission. But what he has said should be done is the goal of my life. I don't know anything else. And this became very... This really entered deep into Prabhupada's heart. And then he said, well, if you do that, success becomes a concomitant factor. It is not like you have to really celebrate that success. Your success is in having this kind of mentality. So Guru Kula is his home. Traditionally, gurus would teach students, not because like there was much money in it, but that's what their duty is. Prabhupada was fond of quoting this story of a teacher in Krishnanagar, which is near Mayapur. A zamindar, landlord, he was attracted towards a small teacher, a small group of students and their teacher. And he actually came forward and said, can I do something for you? Can I get you something? So the teacher said, my wife and my family, we stay in this hut. And Bengal style meant there is a pond, pukur, in front of every home. There is a field. There are some trees. So he said, I have some rice which is grown. We sit under this tree and I teach my disciples, students. There is a tamarind tree which gives either tamarind pods or tamarind leaves. So my wife boils those tamarind leaves in some water and I take that with my rice and I'm happy. Three times if I get good rice, what's the problem? Of course, this is a Bengal-centric example. The point is not whether rice can satisfy you or not. The point is the zamindar was feeling inadequate. Oh, I can't give him anything. He's full. His stomach problem is solved and his mental occupation problem is solved. He has students whom he has to teach. There will always be a class of people who are teachers by nature. There will always be that. You can't take them out. You can't say everybody is a disciple or everybody is a teacher. That won't happen like that. Some people can understand things well, but they can't explain. I remember there was a devotee. He was a research scholar. I found out how deep a computer engineer he was. And I asked him once, what do you mean by booting of a computer? Sometimes you see the word boot, reboot or boot. So I say, what exactly happens when you boot it up? He stared at me for some time, then he said, how should I begin with? And after 3 minutes he said, give it up. Don't worry. Chalu hota hai na, it is, kya problem hai? I said, yeah, it works, but then I would like to know. So it was such a big exercise in his mind. Like he knows so much. So it is not like his knowledge, the deficiency of knowledge is a problem. My receptibility and whether I can assimilate that itself was a big issue. So much so that all over the world there is a popular series called Such and Such Thing for Dummies. So one day I said, who are the dummies? I said, you and me, what else? We can't understand psychology or aeronautical science or mathematics. So these teachers have come together and they have put something for dummies. And they say like that, this series is for the rest of us. That means few, one person can understand pure mathematics or pure computer science. The rest of us need dummies. So coming to this point that we need to have this understanding that some people like to teach. But how perverted that whole thing has become since our glorious Vedic age has gone by. What can be done? Looking at this scenario, why Krishna and Balaram went to Sandipani Muni in the first place? If they are so great, they are described as Naravara Srishtav, Sarva Vidya Pravartakav. They are the originators of all knowledge, so why should they go to a guru? So the acharyas explain, you and me should not criticize them later. Or you and me cannot find an excuse that this particular avatar, he didn't go to a guru, so why should I? So just to be clear, Krishna's pastimes, they are described as swachhanda. In his own wavelength, Atmananda, for his own happiness. But there is another thing where Krishna enacts pastimes to teach, to give a proper example. This is technically called didactic. That means you need to teach somebody by example. So accepting a guru is something which all great personalities have done. In fact, one devotee, he decided to check in Prabhupada's books, all the books, small, large, all conversations, whether there is one at one point where Prabhupada said, in this case you don't need a guru. He said, I failed. I really went with a fine tooth comb to check whether there is any emergency situation where you don't need a guru. No. You absolutely have to have a guru. So Narad Muni, this is quoted in the Nectar of Devotion, Narad Muni saw Krishna and Balaram studying in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And he said, he smiled to himself. He said, Brahmadev is like the cloud. This cloud has showered rain, which has become like a river or a small reservoir of water on the top of a mountain. He said, the mountain is like Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni is like that body of water on the top of a mountain. And that water is now flowing and is coming towards the ocean. Very interesting analogy. Sandipani Muni, the river, is offering some knowledge to the ocean, Krishna. But he said, but where did the cloud get the knowledge in the first place? From the ocean itself. Is it not? The ocean itself gives rise to a cloud, Brahma. Tene Brahma Ridaya. He gives knowledge to Brahma. Brahma gives knowledge to the river, and the river is now giving it back to the ocean. This particular mention of Guru Dakshina is also a very important part. Krishna and Balaram asking Sandipani Muni as to what kind of Guru Dakshina he wants has acquired big importance. Why? Because what Sandipani Muni decided to ask as Guru Dakshina is an unprecedented thing. He asked both of them. Normally, a normal teacher would ask from a normal disciple, cows, land, charity, grains, whatever. If you read the 8th canto, what Bali Maharaj was ready to offer Vamandev is typically what Brahmanas would accept. He said, would you like an ashram? Wooden shoes, belt, food, grains, some gold, or a good wife from a very cultured Brahmana family? He said, no. So he said, then what? A Brahmana can ask for a job. He can't ask for a bank account, or he can't. It is called ultra wires. It will take away his Brahmanatva if he asks something which is unnatural. So Sandipani Muni is saying, since you are extraordinary, I want to ask something extraordinary from you. My son is dead. Many years ago, he died. Could you do something about that? Now, any other person would be nonplussed. He may say, hey, dead is dead, what can be done? But Krishna and Balaram say, alright. So they both go to Yamapuri, the place where Yamaraj resides. He has his darbar, he has his jail or whatever, hell. And they understand. So it's like, that also is very nicely described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna just goes and says, such and such person lost his son, I want him back. And Yamaraj is saying, oh yes, why not? It's almost as if he was just waiting for an order. Now this one small incident, Krishna bringing back the dead son of his guru. Now of course sometimes we may say that, oh, he's Krishna, he can do anything, he can do everything. Especially today, with their half-baked knowledge, not even half, even less than that, and people wrangle all over the internet. You go and try to talk sense in some forum about existence of God. Oh my goodness, the kind of questions they have, who appointed God and who made him God and who created God, who gave him all these powers. So there is, why this is nothing surprising in one sense. The seed is of doubt. The tree becomes a solid, stout thing of doubt. And what are the fruits will be? More doubts. That's what the educational process is. So obviously nobody has any faith. So when Krishna was about to leave his pastime or leave his Leela Sthan or leave this material world, now this is, I'm taking from the 11th canto. Shukdev Goswami is looking at Parikshit Maharaj and is assuring him, hey Maharaj, do you have any doubts that Krishna is not a mortal being? Many times you get this feeling when you read Bhagavatam that Parikshit Maharaj, just like when you read the Bhagavad Gita, you and me are the target audience. Hey Arjun, how can you talk so foolishly? You may say, very good. He is telling Arjun foolishly. Then you realize, hey, it's me. I also have the same kind of understanding. I also have the same kind of attachment. Don't speak like a fool, Arjun. Arjun is not the fool. You and me are. The similar thing we get in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that 11th canto is almost, you can say, 90% of the narration is over now. And Shukdev Goswami is asking, do you still have this thing that Krishna is a mortal being? That when he leaves his body, it is like karma gave him the body and now karma is taking it back? No! And he gives reasons. He says here, in the 11th canto, Martyena yo guru sutam yam aloka neetam. Martyena, that guru sutam, that son of his guru who died, Yamalok Neetam, he went to Yamalok and got it back. Twamcha Nayat Charanada Paramasra Dagdham. And you, O king, you were burnt to ashes by the Brahmastra. He brought you back to life. Jigye Antaka Antamapisha Masavanisham. He defeated Lord Shiva, who causes the death of Yamadutas. Very interesting way how Yamadutas are also, they are just officers on special duty. Because they give death to everybody doesn't mean that they don't die. They are, whatever they are, they look horrible. That's part of their lakshan. That's their dress. They don't look like that all the time. I mean, why should they look like that in front of their family members? In fact, Yamaraj also is a very handsome person. Surprise, isn't it? We think Yamaraj, at least I don't know, in Maharashtra he is shown as a big, burly, fat fellow riding a black bull, not a bull, buffalo, black buffalo. And generally very messy and very, not very together, subtle, not very intelligent in the sense. But no, the Bhagavatam describes Yamaraj as a supremely intelligent person, very much interested in Bhagavad Katha and doing his duty. So Lord Shiva is described as Antaka Antakam, one who can deal death to those who deal with death. And that Lord Shiva was defeated by Krishna in a battle. Kim Swavane Swaranayan Mrigamayam Sadeham. And the fourth thing, first is Krishna brought back the guru's son who was dead. He brought you back to life who were burnt. Third, he defeated Lord Shiva in a battle. And this Jara, the hunter who shot that arrow, even before Krishna is leaving, Krishna is saying, you go to the Vaikuntha planets. Don't worry, it's not an offense on your part. I forgive you. So he says, my dear king, where is the question of Krishna being? Tell me, has any mortal being done these kind of things before? So this question sort of deafeningly resounds in that particular passage. Why do you take Krishna to be a mere mortal? This is not as easy as it sounds. This doubt doesn't go so easily. We can see a particular doubt or a particular theme handled so differently, so expertly and so repeatedly, then we know that maybe this is a major issue. Krishna also warns us, Aujananti ma mudha manushim tanum ashritam. He uses very technical language here. Manushim, manush. The word man in English and the word manushya comes from manu, the administrator, lawgiver of mankind. And there are many of them. Manu. So manu, shya. Those who are ruled by Manu's laws. In fact, today people don't want to be ruled by Manu's laws. Manu Smriti is a much hated or a confusing kind of a text. That's besides the point. So manushim, tanum, body, ashritam. Krishna takes the form which looks like a human form. But the acts which he does are completely beyond. We'll end with a small thing. This is Prithu Maharaj respecting the four Kumaras, offering them Dakshina. And then he says a very interesting thing. He says, O you four saintly sages, thank you for coming to my palace. Swameva brahmano bhungte swam vaste swam dadati cha tasyaiva anugrahena annam bhunjate kshatriya dayaha. He says it is the brahmanas alone who eat their own food, wear their own clothes and stay in their own homes. And the kshatriyas, vaishyas and shudras, they always use borrowed property. Just see how terribly upsetting this is. We can have a hint whether we actually live in Kali Yuga or not. I sometimes use this test myself. How far we are away from what is given in the Vedic scriptures. And if you find that something is practically ulta, just the diametric opposite, then you know you should be confirmed that I am actually living in Kali Yuga. Today we have brahmanas who pester you for dakshina. Give. Give something. Why is that? This is just a perverted version of how people would be eager to give. Here, a kshatriya, a rajarshi, a pure devotee of Vishnu, Prithu, is telling the brahmanas. And then Prabhupada gives a very illuminating purport on that. Right now in India we have, just yesterday I read somewhere, 450 crorepatis now. Those who are having multi-crores. And if you ask any of them, whose property is that? They said, of course mine. Prabhupada says, in a varnashram community, people understand that wealth actually is the property of Krishna and is Krishna's property but is under the custody of someone. And we can see that in a family. I used to have my piggy bank, small thing where I used to keep my money. And I came to know, up to a particular age level, my parents encouraged me to think that this is your money, your money. And I distinctly remember, maybe at 14, 15, 16, something of that age, he told me that this is improper to see this as your money. Then I realized, oh, actually it makes sense. In a family, we cannot have this thing that this is father's property, this is mother's property, this is... There was this Reader's Digest joke. Nobody saying anything. This is the family, this is the bathroom, and there are three towels. His, spotlessly clean. Hers, spotlessly clean. And theirs, all smudged and all dirty and whatever. So he was keeping his thing very clean. She was keeping her property very clean. But when it comes to common property, like if you ask somebody, why do you spit on railway property? They tell time to time, yeah, aapki sampatti hai, this is your property. So I can do with whatever with my property, what's the problem? So precisely, they say it is your property, so keep it like your property, preserve it. Don't destroy it. So two things you can do with your property, either preserve it or destroy it. And in Kali Yuga, invariably we choose the latter. I went to one person's organic farm, I'll end with that, and I said, very nice visit, very impressed and very happy, and thank you really for having this thing. It's a good example of organic agriculture, and I really feel happy coming here. He said, this is your wadi. Come anytime. Now I say, the owner is saying, this is my wadi. Okay, move out. That's not the real thing. But just see the culture which tells any stranger coming to your farm, staying there for 3-4 hours, looking at things, taking your hospitality, and while leaving, you tell him, this is your property, this is your home. These are the vestiges, some remnants of that culture. So, this is a very tall order. I was very surprised to see that there is nothing like Kshatriya's wealth. There is nothing like Vaishya's wealth. Wealth belongs to Krishna, and Krishna entrusts it to the Brahmanas because they are the most selfless of the whole lot. So the Brahmanas actually have the right to enjoy. We this language still, I'm not able to reconcile myself that Prithu is telling the Kumaras, my life, my palace, my wife, my children, my treasury, everything belongs to you. Can somebody say that to a guru or a brahmana, that right now everything belongs to you? We don't find the Kumaras saying that, okay, move over. No. It is that part of that consciousness. So, it is the property of Krishna given to the brahmanas under the safe custody of Vaishyas. Because Vaishyas by nature, they are very expert at preserving things. The very name Gupta. Why the word Vaishya family name Gupta? They keep things nicely hidden. It's not, you can't find their... Yeah, you see everything has a reason behind it. So Vaishyas are expert at keeping that wealth intact. Kshatriyas are supposed to utilize it, viniyog. They can tell, give more. They can tax. Provided they can also protect the Vaishyas. Final thing, in the 11th canto, Uddhava is being told by Krishna how the four Varnas are taken care of by the system itself. So Krishna explains, Kshatriyas are passionate by nature, administration, management, systems, operations, and all that takes away their full time practically. Vaishyas, expanding wealth, they cannot overcome this one urge, how to make that extra buck, how to make that extra money. But that's part of their nature. They are not finding, Krishna is not finding faults with that. So if Brahmanas are not interested in wealth, and these two groups are the only ones dealing with wealth, it's very easy that the Shudras can be exploited. And the Shudras are told, be satisfied with whatever you get. No wonder today everybody is born Shudra and they don't like to be satisfied with whatever you get. You may say, if I trust these three, pura utar ke leke jayega, he will leave me bereft of everything. Unless I fight for it. The whole Russian revolution was based on this point. Workers of the world, unite. You have to fight for bread, which has been stolen by these people. We had a poem in our Marathi class. A worker looks at a big palace being built and he said, look at this. They gave us employment. I made this nice palace. And where am I now? Back in the street. So Prabhupada tackled this point in the Ishopanishad. You rascal, just because you built, that's your property? Today's Shudras feel like that. Those who control the means of production, they control everything. This was a violent Russian revolution. This went on for 70 years. Finally, they got rid of that too. So the world in the last 2000 years has seen Brahmanas giving up their duty, Kshatriyas giving up their duty, Vaishyas giving up their duty, and now Shudras trying to take control of government and also giving it up. So none of them are now ruling. It's all anarchy, it's all chaos. While Prithu Maharaj is giving us his example that it is Krishna's property, Brahmanas take it, so they have the right. Entrusted with Vaishyas, Kshatriyas protect it, and the Brahmanas have to tell the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, give something to the Shudras. So Krishna explains in the 11th canto, the overwhelming factor for protection of all four is the Brahmana's compassion. He will never allow the two to see that a Shudra is exploited. This is that happy combination. Anyway, this was just an observation from Prabhupada's purport. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.